Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters, and welcome to the end of the 2020-2021 Premier League season, the fantasy Premier League season as well. Both of them, Brandon, they're twinned, you know, they're paired together like binary stars, Brandon.
Wow, is this the opening of Gemini Man?
The fantasy season's over. It was a wild, clearly it was a wild season. I mean, we had triple game weeks, we had canceled matches, we had no fans for 36 weeks. We had good times and bad. I had many more good times than bad. You had more bad times than good. So somehow it all evens out in the end, you know? Equally, we finished 50-50 when you combine our good and bad together.
More twinning.
Yeah, although you had a nice little close. So this week's pod it's our final pod for, I don't know, at least a few weeks. I mean, we're pretty committed to not doing Euro fantasy content. Neither of us are just have it in us to do it. We've done it before and it's a mad scramble. We did Women's World Cup stuff a couple of years ago. We did Euros 4 years ago, I guess.
The World Bundesliga Cup, last summer.
Bundesliga last summer. We did the World Cup game and, you know, I think we committed to that for like a week and a half before we just kind of bailed on it. And then we just started talking about the world. It was like, you know, so maybe we'll do some pods where we just talk about the Euros, you know, which you can take or leave. But I think that the plan right now is to, after this pod, you know, we're going to take stock of the season right now, talk about things we want to improve for next year, right? So I want to look ahead a little bit and look back. Sometimes you got to look back to look forward, Brendan. This is what I always say. I've said that on hundreds of pods, I'm sure.
It's true. Yeah. You say something about that. I'm sure you do. But you don't look back in anger. And no. I will make an Oasis reference, an obvious one, in honor of Manchester City, the Premier League champions.
Yeah. Yeah. Interestingly enough, one of the least dramatic finishes of any of the leagues in Europe this year. You know, you had the of course, Bayern rolled as usual, but I was really in sort of like I was following all of these various European leagues this year. I mean, Inter, won their title pretty early, but Lille, or LOSC, I guess, as they say in France. That was very cool to see them pull it up by 1 point. They had a 2-1 win yesterday to hold off PSG. And then, of course, Atleti, too, on Saturday, which was another dramatic. I mean, Luis Suarez with a late goal. Now they were able to hold off Real Madrid.
Lots of disrespected Premier League strikers. Now, Luis Suarez wasn't exactly disrespected when he was at Liverpool, but Barcelona certainly said, don't let the door hit you on the way out. And he went on and won the title with Atleti, as you said. But I do also want to give a special mention to Romelu Lukaku, a fantasy FPL legend in his own right, for his exploits at Everton. And he certainly was not given his due respect, I think, by many followers of the league when he was here. So just really phenomenal to see him excel in Serie A.
And Renato Sanches, who, if you may remember him as a Swansea City flameout a few years ago, Renato Sanches picked up the, I think he like came over from Bayern, or he's on loan from Bayern or something like that. It was a total flop, though, in the Premier League. And he picked up the assist. He's kind of resurrected his career. He picked up the assist in the first goal for Lille. And Tim Weah, is that how you say it? Way, whatever it is. We should probably know that.
Potato, potato, Josh. Let's just move on.
He was on the bench for... I don't know why I'm talking so much international football here. Anyway,
you're getting ready for... You're already in Euros mode, right? Tim Weah is not going to play in the Euros, but that's where we are.
I'm on the beach a little bit today, I've got to be honest with you. So so let's talk
about...
Yeah,
we're podcasting without a net right now, Josh. Usually we have copious notes in front of us, and this is just going to be freestyle. Yeah. This is uncut Josh and Brandon today.
A little bit in summer vacation mode. I planned to put together running order, and then I honestly couldn't do it. It was like that feeling when once you finish your finals as a senior in high school, and you're like, well, I know I technically still need to keep going to school, but
every creative writing class that I took where I turned in a story that I had written like for another class, I'm like, oh, I'll just pretend like this is due. I wrote it yesterday.
I'm shocked you did that. I'm too worried about getting caught. So let's talk about game week 38 first. We both had a couple of goals for ourselves to wrap up the season. You really wanted to kind of just like right the ship, right? You had three green arrows going into 38, and you wanted to finish inside the top 200K. And for context, I think it was after game week 30, like going into game week 35, you were close to 300K, I believe. And so I think, you know, you really... shaving 100,000 off this late in the season is not an easy feat, right? So that was sort of the goal for you.
Yeah, I think the goal, that's exactly right. My goal was less about the overall rank and more just to get a little bit of my self-respect back. Mm-hmm. And that was not going to boil down to where I finished on rank, where I finished in my mini leagues. I just wanted to get a little bit more confidence in my fantasy management before I took a whole summer off. It's sort of like if you're a Leicester player right now, you won the FA Cup, but now you're going to live this summer with the sting of again falling out of the top four. And
I'm sure they couldn't sleep last night. Like I can't imagine.
I can't either. And so just to have a little bit of a positive vibe, a good green arrow run going into the summer, I think is going to put me in a better mental state when we start getting into game week one territory for next season. So it was a perfect roller coaster ride of a game week 38 for me, because I set my captain as Patrick Bamford, and it was just so perfect of this season for me that as we were walking to the Black Horse together, you stopped dead in your tracks because you had just brought Patrick Bamford in, yelled in the middle of the sidewalk, and expressed that Patrick Bamford was on the bench. And I just like shook my head thinking, oh, this is so classic. But in a perfect positive make fantasy fun again spin, it all ended up working in my favor. I took a -4 to go for Sadio Mane and Joe Willock. Now, I had no real long-term plan. I mean, long-term, I guess, is like over the course of the week, mulling over my 38 transfers to bring in Joe Willock. But he was a man in form, fit the price bracket, and he came. And I can't remember if it was him or Rafinha's assists, which were my first actual points of the game week. But Willock scores, Mane gets his brace, Harry Kane, goal and an assist, and then Patrick Bamford comes on for a ceremonial penalty, which writes everything. And I finished on hashtag nice, 69 points, less than minus four, and that put my OR just above 185K. So that definitely wasn't the goal when we started the season.
Sure,
but,
of course.
On the whole, I feel like it's like I forget there was a point in this season, like if you go back to game week eight, I was at 3.6 million. And that was a series of six out of seven game weeks, red arrows, just tumbling. And then I just went on this incredible streak. And it's so easy to forget this middle portion of the season where I was actually managing well and climbing all the way up as high as I think it was like around 135K. So I don't want to lose sight of the fact that, I did have a decent run in the season. It was just like, I couldn't get it over the finish line. So later in the episode, we're going to have to kind of talk about, more lessons we learned this season. I have a few thoughts about what I might be able to do differently.
Yeah, that I want to talk about that a little bit myself. It's sort of interesting. I mean, I finished on in the end I can't really complain about my transfers. I brought in Sadio Mane and Patrick Bamford, Bamford scored. Sadio Mane got the brace. But in the end, I finished on 60 points and picked up a red arrow. It was my third red arrow in a row to end the season. So, give me 2 weeks or like a week and I'm going to be super happy with how the season went. Yeah. At the moment, it's hard not to feel like so much of it goes back to my wild card when I played a few weeks ago, and I did not set myself well enough up for the stretch run. And so I had to burn points, twice in the last 3 weeks. And I ended up with, just a defense and a forward line that just weren't really set up well for game week 38. And I really, I just should have brought in Kane a couple of weeks ago and started Calvert-Lewin. And that was really, just ended up costing me the top spot in a few mini leagues. And so I can't complain, but totally truthful and honest, mm-hmm. I'm feeling a little disappointed, at the moment. I won the 50 buck cup, which is always important to me.
It stings, yeah. Josh. It stings. Mm-hmm. We were tied, three apiece. I, of course, bailed on the 50-buck cup last season because it was crooked. I didn't care for the restart where that put me. So
I let that one go. I'm not going to let this one go as easily. So I won the 50-buck cup. I won our kind of longstanding mini league, the inspiration for us starting this podcast to begin with. So, a lot went well. I think it was just
You qualified for the Generals Elite 64.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. That'll be fun. That feels like a good. That's a fun. Just everyone in that league is a hugely experienced manager. In some ways, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing in there, but it is my. This season is the fourth time I finished in the top 5,000. Four top 5,000 finishes.
You're such a pretender, Josh.
but it's a little like imposter syndrome that creeps in, right? Four top 5,000 finishes and two finishes in the top 4,000 in the last 3 years. So clearly, it's been a nice run. So that feels good.
You're a man in form. Yeah, I guess you could liken your finish to the season as like Thomas Tuchel's finish in the Premier League, where you qualified for the Champions League despite yourself, and you do have to consider it a great season for Chelsea at the end of the day.
Totally. I think it was just, obviously, Brendan, you are not technically allowed to have cash leagues. And so for the record, our 50 buck cup refers again to the number of deers that we catch on our hunting trips.
Yeah. We're both Michigan boys. We're all about hunting culture.
Exactly. Our league is called the Elks Lodge, Brendan. So, but let's say there were a couple of cash leagues that I was in, which of course I'm not, because that's not, technically allowed, Brandon. But
a good thought experiment. I'm with you.
Yeah. As a thought experiment, it's possible that in the waning minutes of yesterday's matches, I lost a little more than $2,000. And just a time-wasting yellow card alone was worth $900. Again, all in theory, Brandon. But these were things that could have happened in a world where there was some money on the line. So, you know, that like, but, you know, in the end, very happy with how things finished for sure. And I want to talk about the season in more depth and talk about what went right and wrong in a minute. But I don't want to give the impression that I'm not absolutely delighted, because it was a great season. I honestly had a lot of luck too. I mean, you know, it's you know, the luck maybe balances out a little bit in the end. Maybe I was a little unlucky down the stretch, but I also got 17 points from Stuart Dallas off the bench, you know, at one point 10 weeks ago. So you
yeah, karma, much like, much like It Follows, had been searching for your fantasy team for the month since that had happened.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. And it's very easy to focus on anything that went not great or less than ideal down the stretch and forget all the times when things went well. I mean, it's just the, you know, the bad beat stories or whatever. That's the stuff that you unfortunately, it's the way our brains work, right? You sort of focus on that stuff more. But
well, yeah, and I think it's something that we talk about periodically through the season, where listeners reach out and say, I'm having a poor season. I'm not sure what my goal should be. And whether you're having a good season or a bad season, wherever you are, your thinking and your targets change based on where you are. And if you're having a great season, it's not like, okay, it's game week 20 and I've achieved my goal. Now I have nothing left to shoot for. It's like, you're having a great season. You have to keep setting new goals, new targets to keep improving. So of course, you stand to lose something at that point, even though you have a great season.
I think that's exactly the right way to put it, because, you know, I mean, I was at 2,500 3 weeks ago, I finished at 3,800. I mean, clearly there's nothing to feel bad about, but it was three consecutive red arrows, and three red arrows in a row. Just, you're always a little disappointed in that, no matter, again just because you recalibrate no matter where you are. So of course, in aggregate, I feel really good about how the season ended. So anyway, let's I don't know why that sounded weirdly down. I'm actually very happy with how the season ended. Let's talk about some of the other leagues before we get into, you know, kind of like more of our season review. So Brendan, do you have it pulled up, or I can pull it up if you don't have it already, the top 10 in the Always Cheating Super League?
I absolutely do. Let me read them out here. And just a fantastic season for more than 20,000 managers around the world in the Super League this season, which is incredible. You know, we've got to get up to 50,000 next season, Josh. I think that's the goal. So, I mean, we obviously don't know all 20,000 of you, but there are some super elite managers who are hanging around in the Super League. And I would love to read off everybody's name. But just starting in 10th place, we've got Joel Easley. And in 9th, hold on, I have to blow this up because you know, I've got some dim lighting here today, Josh. Divininish Bordia in 9th place. In 8th, we have Harzik Zahan. Zoltan Vago, the winner of our Patreon league, is there in 7th place and 6th.
I think that's Harzik Zahin, Brandon. You might need to do the old control plus on your computer God. There.
All right. Let me start again. At 10th place, we've got Joel Easley, Divhansh Bordia in 9th place, Harzik Zahin in 8th place. Did I get that right? Better.
Okay. Yeah.
Zoltan Vago in 7th place. In 6th, it's Jan Kepski. In 5th place, Arka Das, the champ. A very presumptuous name there. Not quite the champ this season, but we do give you plaudits for finishing in 4th in the Super League. In 3rd place, Matt Carvel. In 2nd, it's Vegard Knudsen. And in 1st place, hailing from Norway, it's Finn Sally, Finn Castle City. Fun fact about Finn and the Always Cheating Super League, Josh. Overall world rank for Finn was 39 at the end of the day. Wow. And when I go back to the alwayscheating.com league page, you can see our Hall of Fame of all previous winners of the Super League. Last season, Alex Coates was in the top spot of the Super League. World rank, 39. Coincidence. Or not. Wow. The last two winners of the Super League both ranked 39 in the world at the end of the season.
Very and my birthday was last week, and I turned 39.
Wow, so there's the triptych. Okay, wow.
Everything comes in threes. well, let's do, you know, a shout out to to Matt Marks and Mike Yuong also, who were the finalists in the our producers in Volkswagen Patreon League. And Mikey was able to pull out the win in the end and finish in the top 10K to boot. So congratulations to Mikey. And that's a league that it's a head-to-head league that we started. It's exclusively for our producer and Volkswagen patrons, which are the two top tiers in the Patreon League. So if you want to take part in that next season, make sure you get in before the season kicks off, because as you probably know, the head-to-heads you need to be in at the start of the season. So, and then I'm going to read off, Brandon, just the top five in the Always Cheating Patreon League as well. So in fifth is actually, let's do the top seven, okay? Because I've been pronouncing her name wrong on the podcast all season. Yeah. So we're going to go down to Niamh Wallace in seventh, Brandon. N-I-A-M-H. It's just not a name that we have a lot of in the UK.
We're not going to take the L on that one, Josh. All right, Niamh, you know, we appreciate you correcting us, our pronunciation, for which we are famously terrible. But I'm not going to take the L on that one, though. What a great season, Niamh. That's awesome.
Yeah, Naviria Islam in sixth, David Faulkner Bendixson in fifth, Gunnar Lemmerman in fourth. In third is Oystein Landreau. In second is Chris Tenge. And in first, as mentioned already once in the pod, is Zoltan Vago. Congrats to Zoltan. Very cool guy. Didn't ask us anything on the Slack. Just a great guy. The Slack, really, and congratulations to James Bishop, who won the last man standing. I am just so impressed with, I don't know if it's because of the pandemic and everyone being home or not. And I don't mean to turn this opening section into just a big Patreon shout out. But if you really are looking for like a sense of community, I highly recommend getting in and spending the $3, Brent. It's nothing, you know, the $3 to join the Always Cheating Patreon League and get on that Slack and talk with people, because it's just the nicest group of people, and it's everyone's super smart and friendly, and there's just like wheels within wheels and fun leagues and conversations, and there's just like no jerks. I don't know how there's no jerks on there. So if you're a jerk, maybe don't do it. But
we know you're out there listening, and you know, we appreciate you hitting play. Yeah. I appreciate not having to interact with you. You can be a jerk if you want. Just don't come to my house.
So I'll make this we'll just make this a very quick Patreon shout out. So patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can go to support the podcast. And congrats to everyone who won the various leagues. Brennan and I are going to send out some custom mugs or any kind of merch, really. We'll talk to the winners about that. And and you know, if you as a note, once again, we are going to take at least a month off. So anyone who supports the podcast, you can become a Patreon supporter anytime. But if you support the podcast in that month of June, that is going to be a free month for all of our Patreon supporters. We're going to suspend Patreon for that month. So,
Josh, we don't talk. Maybe we don't talk enough about it, but we certainly don't talk a lot about mental health on this podcast. So, yeah, we're going to take a month just for our sanity. Right. But I have to tell you, the upgrade in my mental well-being when that game week 38 deadline passed was palpable. It truly was.
You were really struggling this year. I mean, I know it. I know you were not having a lot of fun this year.
I was also super excited. I was back in the city. You and your lovely wife put me up on an air mattress the night before our Black Horse visit. Mm-hmm. And then we got to the Black Horse with a bunch of fully vaxxed people. We got to see Brian and Josie, who own the place. We saw Jazz, the best football bartender on the planet. Mm-hmm. And we just had a great crew there to watch the games and feel normal. So I'm just going to shout out a couple more names and then we can hit a break here. But Adam, who helped organize the group, Michelle, who came all the way down from upstate, really enjoyed meeting Michelle, Danny, Alex, Toby, Brandon, Nick, and just as always, a great time had by all at the Black Horse.
Absolutely. And I'm sure a lot of people are feeling that way. I mean, across the country, I know England is you know, really finally emerging out of their lockdown. They had a lockdown unlike anything we had in the U.S. So, I mean, maybe in certain pockets. I mean, New York was pretty locked down, but a lot of places in New York or in America obviously weren't. But, you know, I know that for me, being with friends and really not thinking about COVID once, I really feel like for 2 hours.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
I didn't think about it once. And like, how many of us go through like an hour without it coming up, right? Like, you know, it's ever present. And so that felt very real. Having fans in the stands for the last couple of matches was great. I mean, we haven't recorded a main feed podcast since before Game Week 37, because it was a midweek mm-hmm. match. So, that was just a great experience seeing everybody there. And I had forgotten that what you really get, and they just, I suppose it makes sense because it just seems like a weird thing to do if you're going to pump in fake crowd noise. But the overwhelming noise that the supporters make in the stands is booing. It is negativity and booing and jeering and insulting chants.
Boo earns, Josh. Boo earns.
I just didn't realize how inauthentic the fake crowd noise was until I heard the fans back. And it is hostility. And I don't know why, but there's something about that like hostility that just gives everything like a little bit of extra like edge and like kind of fire, you know?
If we ever have another pandemic, I think the Premier League needs to spend a little cash on getting robot prosthetic arms in the stands to just do wanker signs the entire time.
Yeah, it's got to be meaner, if they have to do it again. All right, so on that note, let's take a break. We're going to get back and do a season wrap-up.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Maybe your fantasy team is distracting you from other important parts of your life. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in less than 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. And there's a broad range of expertise available, expertise that may not be locally available in many areas, and BetterHelp is worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor, and you'll get timely, thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room again. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, and they can make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. So visit betterhelp.com/cheating. That's better, H-E-L-P, and join the more than 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. And here's a special offer for Always Cheating listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/cheating.
All right, Brandon, we're back. FPL 2020-2021. One thing that came up that's sort of interesting is there was quite a jump in points. And this question that you and I had talked about, I think I ended up finishing with like almost 230 more points I scored this season than I did last season. And I finished like 77K last year. It wasn't like I had, a terrible season or anything like that. So, it's the interesting question about whether the level has like really jumped or if it was just that you were able to maximize captaincies and there were more double game weeks and more opportunities. It's probably a little bit of both, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just had more people at home, right? Like, it's interesting because I feel like what you lost this year was you lost a kind of casual fan. Like you lost the work league person a little bit, right? Like it's a much bigger issue in the UK than it is here, obviously. But even here, I felt like we had a lot of people just, we had a friend, our friend Mike, who we invited to the league this year. And, he got 8 weeks in or whatever. And he was like, I don't even know what's going on, you know? And it was like, we had like the first, you know, it's like he was rescheduling and double game weeks. And, he's
a proper Arsenal fan too. It's not like he's a stranger to the league. He's like a bigger sports fan than you and I.
He
was fantasy in a way that just couldn't compute.
Yeah. And I have often said that as an American, when I discovered, because I was 10 years ago when we got really into Premier League fantasy, I was a retired NFL fantasy player. So I had done fantasy and I didn't like the way that in the NFL fantasy would just kind of consume my Sundays, you know. Yeah. I'd spend, you know, I mean, you know, in America, you know, you have the 1 o'clock games, 4 o'clock games, then you have an evening game that's on Sunday. Now, of course, they have Monday, you know, they have Thursday night games as well. And of course, you know, they've always had Monday night football. So, so you're just looking at like this, like 15 hour block, you know, an NFL game is 3.5-4 hours. And so, you know, when I found Premier League fantasy, I was like, oh, this is amazing, because most of the games that are on at 10 a.m., right? Mm-hmm. Like the Saturday games that are at 10 a.m., you'll have like one marquee game on at 12:30, right? But, you know, you can often like record it, right, or whatever, right? Because they'll be on NBC or something. And then, you know, you're like, it's 2 o'clock on a Saturday and you are done. Like your sports commitments are over for the day. And, you know, maybe Sunday it's, you know, the premier match is on at 11 and you're done by one. Right. And like that, and that's it, you know? And so it was this sort of fun thing where you get to be, you basically, it's like the NBC kind of ran with this as like a promo, but it was like, you know, coffee in the Premier League, you know, you wake up at 7:30 AM and you watch your games and, you know, you watch them with your family and then you kind of go do other stuff. And so, this year was just so different though, because, you know, they put these matches on, all at different times. So, from a TV perspective, I understand why they did it, because why not, right? Everyone's home and mm-hmm. you've got this, you know, you can turn 8 hours into 10 hours of content with commercial breaks. But, you know, and from a fan's perspective, like a regular fan's perspective, I'm sure it was great. But from a fantasy perspective, it meant that I was just sweating every game so much. I mean, it's so much more fun. It's not so much of, when things go well, it's great, but when things don't go well, as we saw yesterday, it doesn't hurt as much when there's so many things happening.
Yeah.
You know, there's all these other games happening.
Right.
But when you're just sitting there watching a player on your team lose their clean sheet in the 70th minute or whatever, you're just like, well, like, this stinks. And I got 20 more minutes to watch this dumb game. You know, it's sort of, you can't escape the way
normally. It's so true. I going back to the point you were making about the points totals being notably high this season, when I think about the arc of this season, but more the mini narratives throughout, it was so interesting how, particularly if you take West Ham as an example, there was the Thomas Suchek moment that had a clear beginning, middle, and end. There was the Jesse Lingard moment that had a distinct beginning, middle, and end. I feel like this season was just filled with players who we all, you know, the FPL managers who were paying attention, got on them, got their points, the points dried up, and we all moved on, and we didn't have to think about them anymore. I don't know if you could put DCL or Iheanacho in those categories. Certainly, okay. I think there was, you know, Kane wins the Golden Boot and the Playmaker Award. However, I think, and you definitely capitalized on this moment earlier in the season where it was the Heung-min Son and Harry Kane show. And even though Kane's points steadily ticked throughout the season, there was a clear moment in which we were all just racking up on those two getting FPL points, and that did come to completion. So I think, which that sounded very naughty, I understand, but I think this season is going to be marked by players and teams who had distinct moments. And so I think how that then manifests itself in FPL points is it's easy for us to identify that, collect the points, and then move on to wherever the points are. It's not like you have players that that are getting points and then you have to hold on to them through a drought. Maybe Bruno was that player this season, or Salah for that matter. But more often than not, I think we were able to kind of follow the points more than other seasons.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was sort of, it felt a little cleaner at times. I agree with that. But yeah, I mean, you know, the question, I guess the more interesting question, I think, is whether, I mean, this is a debate I just thought revived again today on social media. And you and I talked about this a little in the Patreon pod, but I think we should talk about it here as well, because I think it's an interesting discussion, which is what should your standard be going into the season, right? When we started doing this podcast, 6 years ago, the goal was top 10K, right? Get in the top 10K. That was kind of a standard goal that everyone, you know, approached it with. But when we started playing, there were 3 or 4 million managers. We have added about twice as many now, right? We've got more than 8 million managers have played this season. Now, granted, of course, those managers don't all stay active all 38 weeks, but neither did they when there were 4 million, right? So, you know, before you had 4 million and 2 would stick around, now you've got 8 million and 3 or 4 million stick around, you know? Mm-hmm. So you still have, it's just a larger pool of people. And so I think it is harder to crack the top 10K than it used to be. But I'm curious if you think it is significantly harder or just or whether it's not. I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
Well, if you look at my season history, I like 2 seasons ago, right? It's the 2018-19 season. My OR when we finished was 10,643. Though that is sandwiched between 2 100+ ORs for those seasons. Prior to that, my ranks are much more consistent, almost uniformly in the top 50K. So I just looking at my personal history, I'm of two minds. I'm either thinking it's gotten more difficult for me to achieve a better OR, or I've also been thinking about this in terms of my own biases as an FPL manager. And I'm wondering, like, as Nick Cummings, who you would know on as Trigger Lips online, mm-hmm. he's a bit of a fire starter, but he's, you know, you go back in time, he had a pretty good FPL pedigree and is a really cogent FPL thinker. And at some point he just kind of, his head exploded and he was like, I can't take this anymore. And I think what happens is as people play fantasy for a long time, I think sometimes you start to rot a little bit. You become so bogged down by biases or patterns that you can't break. And so I'm wondering if there are more players playing the game. There's more information than ever. There's more strategy out there for people to follow. But so I do think that plays into it. But I also wonder, like us, if I'm starting to feel like an old dog and I need to sort of shed some mental FPL baggage.
Yeah. I mean, I'm, you know, I think so, to be honest. I mean, I don't mean to, you know, I have my own biases that I have to work on, but I think a lack of optimism, if I were to identify mm-hmm. a thing in your game that you could work on, which I've said to you before, is just that, like, I felt like, if you go back to this really positive season, I feel like I could probably find a lot of episodes, you know, sort of moments where, you were like really just down on leads, for example, like they're all terrible. They're crap, you know? And it's sort of, and it's like, it just took you like a long time to be like, actually, maybe they're not bad, you know, or maybe they're mm-hmm. like decent fantasy at least, you know? And so, I don't know. I mean, I think that
you've got to take the, the X-Files Mulder and Scully. You have to take the Mulder approach to fantasy. You have to want to believe. Yeah. Maybe you can't see the alien life form, though. We're talking about UFOs more than ever now, Josh.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think maybe my team name next season, it has to be something like that. Like, I want to believe.
Yeah. My problem is less strategic. I mean, my problem is more of the mental thing that you know, I just get so angry, you know, mm-hmm. I'll just watch these matches and, if I'm having the wrong day, you know, I mean, I'll just be on Twitter just like breathing fire, you know, and if anyone replies me and expresses displeasure at me breathing fire, I'm going to breathe more fire on them, uh-huh. you know? And it's like, suddenly I'll have these days where I've blocked 18 people, you know, and I've muted 25 more and I'm like, And it's like, you know, later
on,
it's like,
have you spoken to your mom recently, Josh, yeah, since you blocked her?
No, but it's like, I always feel like it's the equivalent of like that Anchorman thing, you know, after the big fight where he's like, phew, he's like, that really got out of hand, you know?
That escalated quickly.
Escalated quickly. And I feel like that's often how I feel like that, you know, I'm just like, what even happened to me there? You know, because I mean, you know, I think, as you know, I mean, as someone who knows me, like, I mean, if I'm watching these matches and I get ticked off, I mean, you know, once the game is over and we're just talking, I don't carry it with me. It's not like I'm like, you know, it's like I'm inconsolable and have to go home and be sad. I'm just in the moment. I'm too intense. Sometimes I come in too hot. And I felt that way even yesterday morning. I was just really amped up and anxious going into those matches. And it must be fun. Cause of course playing is fun, but like that feeling must be kind of fun to me in a way, you know, because I am engaged. Like,
I'll stakes. You know. You enjoy gambling and, the action is the juice, as Tom Sizemore says in Heat.
Yeah. But I want to be a little less like Mike Mattisau about it. You know, I don't want to be so like, I want to be losing my head so much, you know, and especially, I mean, you know, you just heard me 20 minutes ago at the start of the pod, right? I finished 3,800 overall and I spent 5 minutes complaining, you know, it's like, it's just, you know, and so it's just like a, you know, so for me, that's what I want to work on is not so much the strategy part of it, which I feel pretty confident about. It's the, it's enjoying myself, you know, enjoying the matches more. I do think that optimism is something that a lot of people could use more of. I mean, we're talking about you just because I think you could be well served by that, but I think it's true of a lot of people in general, which is just kind of fun. It's fun to like, to just be like, oh yeah, they're total crap. You know, like there's something kind of satisfying about it, and sort of like eliminates some choices, right? Like if you just sort of like, all right, I'm just going to pick from this pool of teams, right? Because the other ones are just terrible. Then it just like, it means you don't have to study up on an extra 125 players or whatever. Yeah. I think one thing that I've thought about this season that I've tried to do more of, and I found that when I don't do it, it comes back to haunt me. And I'm thinking of Harry Kane here in particular, and not picking him up in game week 35, and going with Son instead, who's, you know, Son's a great fantasy asset, but he's not Harry Kane. You know, and it was really between those two. I could get either one very easily. I guess it was going into game week 36 because that was the blank right after the triple game week. It doesn't matter. But like, you know, anyway, I was sort of coming down to like which players to get. And I was thinking about this Fabio Borges. So Fabio Borges has been in our league for a long time, but he's probably like, I mean, at this point, like he probably would have to be considered the single best fantasy Premier League player out there. I mean, I'm not sure he's ever had a finish outside the top 10K, you know, I mean, it's just incredible. And even this year, I think he finished like 1100 overall. I mean, it's just, you know, he's such an incredibly smart manager. And he did an interview on the Fantasy Football Scout where he was talking about how he had some line where he's like, I would never captain a player on a bottom half team, you know? And it's like, he really has this thing about like investing in like the absolute best players. And he doesn't, you cannot fill your team up with Bruno Fernandes types. You have to be, again, you have to study up on all these other teams. You got to be smart. You know, Rob Holding is an example of a cheapy player on ultimately would end up being a mid-table club, right? That like all of us could have had, any of us could have had Rob Holding, you know? And it would have been very, it would have helped your team surely down the stretch, right? Picked another 7 points yesterday.
It was the universal basic income of FPL.
Yeah. And so when I was debating between what ultimately came down to like DCL at home to Sheffield United or Harry Kane, I ended up going with DCL because I just kind of fell in love with that Sheffield United fixture. And in the moment, I was sort of thinking, I think if I were Fabio Borges, I think I would go with Kane here, you know, because that's just like, it's just invest in the absolute best player, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to try to do even more of that next season, you know, which is just sort of like, when in doubt, go with the absolute best player. You know, I mean, that doesn't apply to like, again, at the margins when we're talking about, you know, your third defender or whatever, but like, I think sometimes you fall in love with like, all of us, we fall in love with these DCL types, but DCL is just not in the same category as Hurricane. Hurricane's a superstar, you know?
Yeah. DCL was, I mean, he's worthy of our adoration. He had overall a good season, and I think he'll be a great fit for England this summer, but he was kind of exposed for what he ultimately is at the end of the season as a striker for Everton. I mean, Everton as a club were kind of exposed at the end of the season too, of like, LOL, you thought this was a top four club. Not yet. Certainly not yet.
Yeah.
When I think back to my lowest point this season, I can remember kind of fishing for, it was less that I was fishing for things to do. It was, I probably just had too much time on my hands right before a game week deadline. And I went to look at a bunch of team reveals, mm-hmm. a bunch of like personalities within the community revealing their team. Yep. And I mean, I think it's great to have access to that. And it's good to see what really strategic minds are doing. But I became infected by the feeling of the fear of missing out and all that stuff. And I think that, like, coupled with when you're having a poor run of FPL form, suddenly you're sort of grasping for a solution. You're not playing your own game. And I think me not playing my own game became wildly out of control in that moment. And I felt that acutely many times this season. That
do you remember, like, about what point of the season that you did that?
Probably around game week 15. Mm-hmm. I think I would suspect, actually, that can't be true. I think it was right around game week 11 there, where I was saying earlier I landed around 3.6 million. Yeah. And I think my point there is less the team reveal. It's more I had that feeling many times, the fear factor. And that was something I was talking to you about when I was debating captaining Bamford or Salah in game week 38. And the only reason I was going to switch the armband to Salah was I was terrified of being in the Black Horse with a bunch of people who had Mo Salah captained. And if it went the wrong way for me and I had Bamford captain and everyone was having a great time with their Salah captaincy, as Salah went off for a hat trick, I was just anticipating this miserable feeling. And so I was fearful there. So on the one hand, you're totally right, Josh. There is a, to manage with optimism can save you from that. And also to just manage without fear and to accept that some weeks are just not going to be your weeks. And as I kind of worked through that, I felt so good captaining Bamford at the deadline, because I knew full well that I believed in that choice and it was a choice that I was making. That's something I've been thinking a little bit about.
I think you're onto something though, because I think I will say that I enjoy reading FPL content, but the kind of content you're talking about there is not the kind of content that I find that I get a lot out of. And I think that it has a place 100% in, like, you know, and this is a, I mean, this is done on Scout and Hub and all of these other places. So I'm not singling anyone
super out here. Super useful sites with great tools that, we use and enjoy.
Totally. Exactly. And people do this on YouTube, right? I mean, it's kind of across the board.
Yeah.
But I have found that it is the like kind of people talking about their philosophy. Or so we've talked about Joe Lepper's Meet the Manager series for Fantasy mm-hmm. Football Scout, and how valuable I found that over the years. And I think this is why I gravitate towards the podcast form as well. And I just, to me, it's like, you know, when it comes to getting good advice, it's like it's a stray line in an interview about other stuff that sticks with me. You know, a line about, you know, again, like the Borges thing, that line about always going for quality and top half of the table. That was not the point of the article. Right. It was, you know, I think it was like a team reveal kind of thing, but it was, you know, but it wasn't a team reveal, but he was sort of talking about, you know, how he was setting up. I can't remember what the context was, but it wasn't just like, here's how I'm rolling out this week. He just said it as an aside in this line, but it really stuck with me. And, you know, I remember thinking about this, another line that stuck out for me a few years ago was an interview with, James Eggersdorf, where he,
who's back, by the way. He had a pretty good season this season. He kind of vanished and now he's back.
I saw that. He was a guy, a lot of people who get really into fantasy decide that they want to become fantasy football content creators. And there's no, it's not a closed shop. Everyone's welcome to do it. But he was one of those people who rightly figured out that it was not, it made it less fun for him, right? That mm-hmm. he just like, and I think he's just kind of naturally kind of slick, you know? And so it almost made it worse, right? Because it was like, he kind of knew how to use his kind of innate abilities or, you know, production skills or whatever to kind of, to like really look professional. I felt like he like came out of the gate and I was like, oh, this guy's going to like do great. You know, it's like he was doing interviews and, yeah. you know, but then he was like, okay, I've gone too far and I'm not even having fun with this anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's become all about content creation and talking to people and I'm not really enjoying playing fantasy. And so he kind of walked back from all of that stuff as far as I know. But anyway,
he made fantasy yeah. fun again, Joshua.
He did make fantasy fun again. Our credo, Brandon, this year, I'm so glad that I think it started last summer when the game restarted, the MFFA ethos. I mean, it was sort of, I think, intended initially as a bit of a joke, a kind of a play on because, you know, the 2020 election was happening last summer.
Yeah.
Donald Trump and his supporters, you know, have their MAGA hats, right? Make America yeah. great again. So it was a little bit of a little parody of that, you know, MFFA. But it's sort of, at this point, I feel like it's really taken on a life of its own, you know, and like I feel like it's sort of the defining ethos of the podcast at this point, right? Like yeah. make fantasy fun again, which is different for everybody. Like maybe make fantasy fun again is being all about the data, right? And just and mm-hmm. you know and just you know anytime goal scorer odds and looking at you know heat maps and whatever. Maybe make fantasy fun again is that you're just never going to pick the most popular captain. Maybe it means you're just not going to take the game that seriously. Maybe it means you're going to take one match off every Saturday that you would have watched otherwise. Mm-hmm. Like you know whatever that means for you, think about how you can make it more fun, right? And sort of and that's just what this podcast is. I think you know it's more about having fun than it is about. Hopefully, you know, people listen to this podcast and get better at fantasy, but I wouldn't say that that's my primary goal for doing the pod. My primary goal is to, just sort of talk about what it's like to be a manager, like to be in this position where, I mean, you and I both have, you know, regular lives, you know, and we're semi-regular, but we're just two guys from the Midwest and, you know, who found ourselves completely obsessed with playing this game and playing it with all our friends. And, you know, I think most people listening are probably in that boat too, where they're like, they can't explain to their friends and family why they're so into this. It's just, you know, they just got the bug for some reason.
And what you were saying about Fabio Borges, he writes an article, you pick up one sentence from this entire article that he's read, and it helps shape a certain philosophy that you bring to fantasy now. And yeah. We have to produce 45 episodes a year to generate one nugget like that for fantasy managers out there. So, yeah. you know, that's the reason that's why true. We generate so much content is we that's have true. To work that much harder to we produce a little nugget.
Team, we had Bus Team the year before, yeah. and we had Pure Watch before that. So mm-hmm. we're slowly. But I was going to say the comment from Jay from Eggersdorf was it was just, again, it was not the point. It was part of an interview, actually, that he did. But he was talking about when it comes to picking captains. And he was like, you can pick the captain that everybody's talking about. You can pick the captain that some people are talking about. You can pick the captain that a couple people are talking about. But you generally shouldn't pick the captain that nobody is talking about. And I often think about that. And it's such a good rule of thumb. And of course, it's a gamble. Like, it's all a gamble. We don't know who's going to score going to any weekend.
Yeah.
But in general, there's a range of players who are likely to score. And being good at fantasy typically means that you just have one foot in the world of rational like decision making. Mm-hmm. Like this player is more likely to score, therefore I'm going to take him. But just that idea of just like don't go full maverick, as our friend Eric Freeman says. You know, you can go half maverick, but don't go full maverick. And it seems like it's going to be fun, but it actually ends up being kind of not fun. And it actually goes exactly to what you and I were talking about yesterday, because you were talking about Gylfi Sigurdsson and you know, all of these moves that you made that ended up with you ended up with Joe Willock, right? And it was like, it starts with like,
it's so ridiculous when you put it that way.
Yeah, but it's like it starts with you having like one player to be different, And then it's like, well, that's not really working. I have to get another player to be different.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I have to keep doing this. It's like, it's like I can never stop now. You know,
okay. It's totally a vicious cycle. And it is real logic. I look back at game week one of this season, sitting, you know, getting a major sunburn on the roof of your apartment building.
I remember
and,
it well.
Yeah. I captained Aubameyang against Fulham in game week one, and you captained Mo Salah. Mm-hmm. And guess what happened? You know, it's like putting your faith into DCL against Sheffield United in game week 38. Yeah, it was a great fixture for Arsenal, but guess what was better? Liverpool. I mean, I guess Liverpool had a real match against Leeds, but wow, I mean, that puts you in a really great starting position with Salah in game week one. So definitely hear you there. I think like
that gets something I was going to ask you about too, because you were talking earlier about having this you know kind of rough start and crawling out of a hole a little bit, and I was just curious what my rank was early on. So I was at 300K after game week one, 550K after game week two, 575-3. So, I mean, not great, but not terrible either. And I'm curious, what were your ranks after the first 3 weeks? Do you have your team up there?
I do. Yeah. So after game week one, I was at 1.2 million, and that could mean anything, right? Like, you know, after game week two, your 1.2 million rank could be, you know, 300,000.
Sure. Yeah.
So then game week three, my rank is 3.187 million. Game week four, 3.6. My lowest rank then was game week eight, 3.633 million. And then what happens is a long series of green arrows. And I remember that portion of my season being defined by just kind of steady as she goes, making sensible picks. Right. And I don't remember it fondly because I was just kind of being a little bit more mechanical about how I was managing my team. I had gone into crisis mode in the best possible way, right? In order to fix a fantasy team, sometimes you just have to be as boring as possible. Right. And when I look at my game week, just my game week ranks, not my overall rank week to week, what stands out to me is where I really get myself into a hole is when I, like in game week three, my game week rank was 6.1 million.
Yeah.
And I think I had like five game weeks this season where I had a 5 million plus game week rank.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is necessarily true, but I think what that points to is you kind of have to be a little average with your team selection to avoid weeks like that. And that way you can at least avoid a diabolical overall rank. If you can just keep your game week average rank at a respectable level, then it's kind of easier to move yourself into a position toward the end of the season.
I just pulled up your team from game week three. I mean, it's just an amazing story of how these seasons evolve, right? You have Matt Ryan in goal. Okay, who is now at this point this season Arsenal's backup keeper, right? He went from game week three starter to backup keeper for a completely different club. You had Virgil van Dijk, who did not keep his clean sheet at home to Arsenal. Apparently, I can't
soon to be
match.
Destroyed by Pickford.
Yeah, you had Romain Saïss, who conceded four goals away to West Ham. This is before we knew West Ham was good. And Jimenez, you had it as well, who picked up 0 points that week because he had a very unfair, I still think, own goal. I think Suchek should have received the goal on that and should have been an own goal. You had Captain Kevin De Bruyne. You have a thing in general where you fall in love with Man City, and it seems like every year it comes back to haunt
I do.
You.
I do. And listen, I feel like my eyes were open toward the end of the season. I was like, I don't need any of these players, like not one.
Yeah, he is just going so deep now with the squad depth, and he kind of did it the whole year. I mean, I was listening to a podcast. I think it was the second captains this morning. They were talking about who should win the Manager of the League award. And I think they all kind of ultimately came down to Bielsa. And someone said, you know, Pep deserves all the credit in the world. He's done a great job this season, but he also was able to rotate out seven or eight players in every single match starting in January. And that's just a luxury that no, I mean, Liverpool like finished in third place with like paper and paper and glue, you know, like, I don't know how they did it. It's a remarkable, right? I mean, it had Reese Williams and Nat Phillips down the end, just like, you know, hold things. All right. But anyway, I want to go back to your team here. So you have Van Dyke, you have Dean, they have Mitchell, and then Foden. So, I mean, right now, I mean, already looking at this, right? You got Foden, who's a punt, Mitchell, who's a punt, Sace, a little bit of a punt, Matt Ryan is a little bit of a punt. You know, and so because I was genuinely Timo Werner, who I think we could ultimately call a little bit of a punt too.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's easy for me to look at your team. I'm sure mine didn't look that good this game week either. But just because we're talking about it, we're talking about a bad start. You know, I wonder if you're right, right? Because, I mean, in your starting 11, I see five punts, right? Uh-huh.
And, Guess what, too? This is a wild card team you're looking at.
It's a wild card play, right? So it's like, it's also easy to look in game week 38 and you can laugh about it. But I mean, I think there is something to be said for, because clearly a 3.8 million start. I mean, I was looking at your, you know, what happened, I think beginning game week 11 or something. I'm not going to pull it up again here, but I think you had 16 green arrows and 18 game weeks. Right.
Yeah.
But because you were at 3.8 million, you were just kind of a grump for a lot of that stretch, right? Because you kind of knew you weren't going to finish in the top 10K. Uh-huh, I mean, of course you can. And you always hear stories about people who are like, oh, I was 6.9 million overall and I finished, you know, 2,700. Can you believe it? You know, it's like, that is a hard.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. Yeah. It's very hard to thread that needle. You've got to be like our friend Jeremiah Johnson and just make crazy punts and, you know, have to come off every week and, you know, and burn eight all the time and get away with it. But, you know, I think, I mean, just looking at this, it's like, yeah, that actually makes me think. I'm glad we pulled this particular team up because it makes me think, there is something to be said for being boring at the start. You don't have to stay there. You know, you don't have to stay there for very long. And I have said, you know, I did my own Joe Leppard meet the manager thing. And I said again, and it comes back to this optimism thing. You just have to get a week early on these players, you know, get a week early, get a week ahead of everybody else in Stuart Dallas. So we get everybody else on Ilkay Gundogan, a week ahead of everybody else on X player. And that cumulative effect is the difference between winning or finishing fourth in your mini league. Yeah. You know, it's just that a little more optimism, you know.
Further to that, I don't think that we are advocating for being boring and dull and a sheep at the start of the season. Because the thing I think about always at the end of the season is what a shame it is that we have spent 9 months, 38 game weeks, accumulating all of this incredibly valuable knowledge. Like, it takes us the whole season to get to a point where we can make comfortably smart decisions with our fantasy team. Come game week one, we're back to square one. We're starting from scratch. So the most, as boring as you can possibly be, will only serve you because you need 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 weeks before you have the knowledge to actually start making those sword picks, those picks that will give you that cutting edge. And there's no shame in basing your strategy on that. I mean, you're looking at my wildcard team in game week three. I bought in a bunch of Wolves players. I didn't bring in any. I didn't have Harry Kane or Son, and that further tanked me. And I was impatient. I thought I had the knowledge and I didn't. And I was going for these cutting edge picks and it didn't work. So I think that's the right way to look at it. As shameful as it might be going into game week one, it's like, just be a little patient.
Yeah. And well, you were talking at the start of this section too, about runs, a season of runs, you know, and sort of DCL had a run and Kane had a run and, you know, whatever. And it's like, maybe, patience for sure, but also it's like clear your head. Don't look at team reveals, right? And just like think about like, what is the story that the results are telling us right now?
Yeah.
Right. And it's like after 3 weeks or whatever, the story was that DCL is incredibly hot, you know, that and he's cheap. You should bring him in your team. That Kane and Son are the entire attack for Spurs and it's working. Right. You know, and it's like, so it's like that, it's almost like you need to not know that Kevin De Bruyne is a great fantasy ass, you know, it's like, you almost have to like, just be like, what is the story that I'm hearing right now? You know? And it's hard to do. I mean, like you said, you know, it's like, it's hard not to like have all this noise of many years of experience telling you whatever, you know, but, I think that's, I don't know. I mean, I, now that I say it out loud, I feel like that's what I'm going to try to do more of now too, is it's like a Zen thing, right? It's just like, what is this season telling me? Sometimes you don't know the answer. You know, it's like, that's where the patience thing comes in. Like sometimes you just don't know how you're supposed to approach the season because it's just too chaotic. And
every episode next season, I'm going to try to tell you, Josh, what color the aura is of the game week. And I think that might help.
I wonder if that would be like a theme for next season's pod, though. It's like what did we learn exactly? Because that's kind of what we do just in the podcast in general. It's almost like an elevator pitch. What did this game week just tell us?
Yeah.
You know, like irrespective of everything that we know about all of these players, you know,
here's what we do. So Full House, right? That was a big family situational comedy on national television here in the States. Yeah. I don't know if Full House travels around the world, but it's like the classic sitcom where every episode ends with a little soft music playing in the background. And dad sits down with his daughter and says, okay, this is the moral of this is the problem we solved this episode. And this is what we learned from it. So I think at the end of each Always Cheating episode next season, we have to have a little music bed. Yeah. And then you sit me down on my bed and put your arm around me and tell me what we learned.
Did that happen? Is that how Full House episodes ended?
In my mind, either that or Uncle Jesse rides off in his motorcycle. One of the two.
He's got to go play a show with the Beach Boys.
Right? Yeah, cue Kokomo.
Weirdly, that's the second time that Beach Boys Kokomo episodes come in like 3 days in conversation. I talked about Kate just a couple days ago. All right, so anything else you want to say? I think this is kind of, I like that we talked about some actual strategy here. I think that I'm actually glad that we didn't have notes because I think I feel like I kind of got some ideas for the summer. Let me ask you this. Are you looking forward to the Euros?
Yeah, I am. I am because it's going to be Pure Watch and Pure Watches are great. Mm-hmm. And I do think that we saw a level of energy and enthusiasm with the fans being back in the stands. I mean, most notably watching the FA Cup final. So getting that Euro action and the reason why these tournaments, be it the World Cup or the Euros or on any continent, international tournaments, the level of partisanship that you see in the stands. I mean, yeah, go see Millwall play Ipswich. I don't know. I'm sure you're going to see ungodly levels of partisanship, but you know what I mean? I'm into it. So I think it's going to be something that, it's the methadone for us FPL addicts. I don't want to go cold turkey.
That's a good way to put it. I know. I like that we're going to get a little drip, drip, drip the next few days. We got the Europa League final on Wednesday. You've got the Championship final on Saturday, the Champions League final later that day. The Championship final should be kind of fun, too. Swansea or Brentford, I'd be happy with either team.
I think even though as a Fulham supporter, I should not be rooting for Brentford because they are pretenders. But I will be... I will not be excited to see another IU brother back in the Premier League.
Brentford seems more fun. They're kind of like Leeds, where I feel like they've been sort of knocking on the door of promotion for a while.
And they produced fantastic players we got to enjoy this season. I mean, I thought we were going to see more of Benrahma this season, but I think
moments late, I guess.
Yeah, but Ollie Watkins certainly came good. So, yeah, I think I am actually going to be pulling for Brentford in that one. I'm going to be pulling for Belgium in the Euros because everybody knows that KDB is my beautiful baby boy, and I want to see him happy. I want to see him lift the Champions League trophy and the Euro trophy.
And the Premier League trophy. That's too much. Too much winning.
The real treble.
That's a good question. I guess I'll be probably just pulling for England. We've got so many English friends just doing the podcast. So, especially if Trent makes that team. Are you kidding me if they don't put Trent in that?
You're playing yourself, Gareth.
It's crazy. Yeah, they're never going to have a set piece. you know, or a corner kick.
Oh, don't worry. Eric Dyer can just sky the ball, you know, to the moon.
Harry Kane can take those corners again. Oh,
God, I forgot about that. Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was a long time ago, right? Yeah. It's funny to think of Hodgson as the England manager. That just feels like a dream. Like, that actually happened, you know?
So yeah, weird. And then Big Sam. The only thing we learned from Big Sam's tenure was that he immediately renamed the Wi-Fi hotspot in Wembley a Big Sam's Wi-Fi or something like that. What a funny guy he is. Yeah. But I guess just to put a little button on it, I will remember this season always for many reasons, and I think it was a horrible season in terms of suffering through a global health crisis and no fans in the stands. But I thought player protests for equal rights and social justice was very great to see and really historic, I think. And also it was like through the challenges, I think, you know, the FPL community rose and met them and was a really positive force, more or less. So I'm leaving this season with positive, good vibes.
I am too, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it was something to do, like having these benches on all the time.
You have to put it bluntly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we had long stretches of months at a time where we're all just home, you know, winter, New York, nothing open, you know, like I never want to go through that again, right? Like, you can't go inside a store, you know, it's just like I did not want to experience that again. And so, yeah, having just matches on all the time and something to talk about and chat with for people, I'm glad that we had it. I love being part of the community. It's funny. I talked about it earlier in the pod, and I guess it made us sound like a sales pitch or something, but, I was just really, cheered by, all of the stuff that happened on Slack, you know, with our community over the last couple of months, and how, really cool it is to, like, neither of us are like creative. I mean, you know, like, we're not like writers, you know, we're not like, you know, the podcast is like as creative as we get, you know, but to create anything that people enjoy and that has sort of spawned its own community, and then deaf people kind of, it's like throwing a good party, you know? You know, and it's just like, you see conversations happen all over the place and you're like, well, that's great. You know, it's like, everyone's just having fun. I don't need to like mess around and inject myself in every conversation. You know, it's just like people are having fun.
We just get to walk around the FPL community asking people if they're good on drinks. Hey, you need anything?
Yeah,
you good?
Exactly. That's exactly right. But yeah. And, you know, I mean, that often happens on Twitter too. I feel like I come in too negative on Twitter, but I do enjoy it. There's a lot of people that I really do like talking to on there, and you know, we shut them out all the time in the pod, so I won't do it again. But I'm excited in particular that Mark from Scout is, or, you know, formerly,
he's back.
I don't know what his connection is anymore to Tennis World Scout, but at this point, but he is but it's great to have him back in the world, and talking a lot, because I just think that he's kind of one of my fantasy heroes. And and then of course Joe and people like Eric Freeman, who just keep things fun. He's kind of the embodiment of
that. And we live in the age of Krellin, Josh. Yeah, don't forget about that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, you know, Andy. I mean, there's just a lot of people that we really like and enjoy talking to. So, you know, I think next season we're going to try to keep mixing it up. We'll try to think about new strategies. I think we need to have more guests on. I would say if we have a weak spot for the podcast, is that we don't have people on to sort of just give us a different voice and perspective on this pod. Mm-hmm. And it just comes down to laziness. It's a little harder to book things in the U.S. because a lot of times we want to talk to people who are 5 hours apart from us, you know, but I think we're going to try to make that happen a little more often, even if that just means, you know, we record a day before and have it in the can or something, you know, so.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. And look for us on Locker Room. We've enjoyed doing live chats on the Locker Room app. If you have an iPhone, download that. We're going to be doing more chats on a weekly basis throughout the summer, just to keep in touch. And if you're not on iPhone, I think we're hoping to start dropping those Locker Room chats into the podcast feed so you can keep tabs on what we're up to. So it won't be a full stop for the podcast next week.
No, yeah, exactly. We're going to keep going in some way, shape, or form all summer. So, but you know, effectively that we're going to be taking about a month off, and we'll be back, you know, as soon as the game relaunches. So we'll see you most likely. We'll see most of you in July. So have a great summer. Thank you to everyone who's listening to the podcast. Thanks to everyone who supports the podcast on Patreon. Brendan, do you want to do one final thank you to our producer patrons?
Oh, I'd love to. Big thanks to Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian T, Da Big Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wagner, Lodahl. Congrats on third, Dave, you cheeky bastard. Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Travis West, Victor Forberg, Skoging, Paul Hertzig, Kyer, Christine Lalang, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, at FPL Merch. If you need a prize for your mini league, check out at FPL Merch. Carrie Swanson, Kieran Screeton, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Blue Nose Stew, Mikey Uong, our Patreon head-to-head champion, Bruce Kerr, Nicholas Vernadonka, Sam Schauer, Will Husby, Rich Evans, Future Media Group, FPL, Ben Sweeney, George Kinney, Shiv Majoria, Ron Frosk, AJ, and Josh, do I have this right? Fly You Fools is back into the producer circle?
That's right. He's back.
Right. He's back. You thought you were rid of him, but you don't have Fly You Fools to push around. He's back. So, thank you to the producers for making this such a fun season. And just so you never miss an episode, we're going to take a little bit of a break, as we said, but just subscribe to Always Cheating wherever you get fine podcasts. That way, whenever we're back, the episode will just pop up automatically. We're, of course, wherever you get podcasts. If you enjoyed this season, if we helped you win your work league or anything like that, jump on Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review for our trouble. We'd appreciate it. Of course, follow us wherever you get social media. Visit our website, alwayscheating.com, where you can get yourself your very own Make Fantasy Fun Again red ball cap, to cause all of your friends and relatives to do a double take and look at you. Look at you a second or the third time. You're like, it's fantasy related. You see what I've done there? And all sorts of other cool swag, always cheating related. It's alwayscheating.com.
That's true, yeah. If you're looking for something to give the person who finished first in your mini league or something like that, or you just finished first and you're looking for something to get yourself. And one final note, the Slack never shuts down. So if you feel like talking football or talking about the Euros this summer or whatever, you can become a Patreon supporter anytime, even during the off season. So patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can go. Thank you for listening all season. Thank you for everyone who stuck it out with us for all of these seasons with an S. So, we'll be back. I'm already just knowing that we've got a month off makes
me feel already miss it, Josh. I know.
No, I was going to say it already makes me feel refreshed for next season, but I'm going to need that month to feel that way. So
you, me, and Poku, we all need a break.
Yeah, so we'll be back for season. God, we'll be season 7. That's crazy. We'll be back.
Lucky 7.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.